Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. Today, we would love to hear from you. We're taking your questions and anything you have to ask us. We're watching. It's live. It's Monday. Give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460 outside North America. You can always reach us at 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with a question or a comment to Jim and Joy at EWTN.com and check us out on Facebook. So first, I'd like to say thank you to Derek Clues, because all of this week of the Easter Octave, I don't know if you noticed it, but the morning music at Mass has been heavenly. And the choir and Derek Clues, and I want to thank Father Joseph for the direction that he gives them, and EWTN for the coverage. It was so beautiful. All of the Masses every day of this Easter Octave have been par excellence. They have been ridiculously unbelievable, worshipful. So I thank you.
Yes.
And we also want to thank the crew and the team for all of the beautiful coverage that they gave to you all for Divine Mercy Sunday. So beautiful.
It doesn't just happen.
Nothing just happens. As you're sitting home, there's a whole crew and families who've said goodbye to husbands and wives to make all of this happen. So thank you, and thank you to EWTN for the beautiful coverage that they gave to us from the Shrine and also from far, far away in freezing cold Massachusetts, where it was, right?
And today's an unusual day for numerous reasons.
Yes.
One, that there's the solar eclipse that's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
But today is the Feast of the Annunciation of the Lord, which usually takes place on March 25th. And so it was shifted this year, 2024. To give it the place it needs to have in the midst of the Easter dates and how things fell. And our question for the day is, why is the Annunciation of the Lord of such profound significance? The Annunciation of the Lord, why is it of such profound significance? We want you to write us. We want you to call in today. We want you to share what the Annunciation means to you, what it means in world history and spiritually. And it's been such a blessing, Joy, for us to meditate upon the Annunciation. I tell you, I've come into such a deeper place of wonder. And I mean, at times as I'm just thinking about the eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That's my adult conversion verse. Was Jesus God incarnate? That was the thing for me. Is Jesus God with skin, God made, poor God with a face? And some years back, I said, I really do believe this as an adult person, that Jesus, who was walking the face of the earth, was perfect man and perfect God. But I never gave thought to how did that take place? Not that anybody knows exactly, but it goes back to Our Lady and her being chosen. The angel Gabriel came to her, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. You will conceive, you will bear a son, you will name him, you know, Jesus, and this whole encounter, and she's just so beautiful, because her fiat, let it be done to me according to your word, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord, but that the God of the universe, who holds everything together, the universe together, the God of the eclipse and everything else, that he becomes a zygote, an embryo, a fetus, an infant child, and grows up, gives his life upon the cross intentionally and willfully, and now is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, this little one who was conceived in the womb of this Blessed Virgin Mary. No other woman like her. So what are your thoughts? Do you believe this? I found myself saying, Lord, is this real? But we know about the Word made flesh, but how was he made flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin?
She is the mother of the Word.
Mother of the Word. I mean, wow.
Which is like, there would be no Word if we didn't have a mother.
Yeah.
And we have to thank God for this beautiful day when we celebrate where she said yes to our Lord that Jesus would be conceived in her womb.
We would have the Word, but we wouldn't have the incarnation.
Right.
She gave her DNA that he might be God with a face, God with skin, God made poor, radically identified with us. And so we want to hear from you. Is this profound to you? Give us a call. Tell us about your love for Jesus, because that's what Mary pointed to. It's not all about her, but what a wonder. She's so humble. 1-800-221-9460 or 205-271-2980. Give us a call now. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Jesus is alive. Mm-hmm. Jesus is risen, and he's coming back to be the judge of the living and the dead. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Well, remember that today we're taking your questions and your comments on our show because we're here and we're live and we would love to hear from you. So give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460 or if you're outside North America, it's 205-271-2980 and you can always send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So this is the question. Why is the Annunciation of the Lord of such profound significance? And Father Mark had a beautiful word this morning on EWTN. And for me, you know, I'm a convert, and so all of these celebrations, feasts, are new to me. I'm kind of like, what? Because in Protestant land, it just, everything was about Jesus. Well, yes, and now so we learn that Jesus had a mother. I had to learn all about the Blessed Mother, learning all about the incarnation, the Annunciation, the Ascension, all these beautiful things. And it's like you go into it because you need to learn. You need to say, I need to understand this. How is this? So as a convert, I didn't always think that the world needed a mother. But Jesus said at the cross, right. Behold, your mother.
Behold your son.
Behold your son, right? Those were words that he said. Well, and that became new to me in after my conversion. But right after my conversion, we went to the beach. And this is really a true story. And there was a dad, and he had like three or four kids. And he was trying to manage these kids on the beach. And I'm still on this journey about Mary and do I really need a mother? How does this work? You know, Jesus, I love you. It's all good. And I'm sitting there enjoying the sun, but I'm watching this scene intensely. And I really believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me because I'm watching this guy and he's really just trying to do the best he can. But it wasn't until his wife came on the scene. And his wife came, obviously he was trying to be nice and give her a minute to get herself together. And so she comes walking up to the beach and all of a sudden she picks up this one and she does this for this one and peace happened. Just because the mother showed up, peace happened, order. The chaos ceased, it was just peace. He was glad she was there, the kids were glad she was there. And I believe the Holy Spirit said to me, Joy, the whole world needs a mother. And I looked at that scene, and it was like my heart, because when you're a convert, your heart is hardened to Mary, because you don't have faith formation in who she really is in Protestant land. For me, I didn't. And my heart opened, and I was like, I need a mother. I need the Blessed Mother. I need her, yes. And when you think of the angel coming to her and saying, Hail Mary, he knows her name. Do you believe God knows your name? Do you believe he knows my name? And then the angel knows that she's just a very holy, special woman. But
she's
he says,
grace,
full of grace, don't be afraid. Because I'm sure that was rather frightening.
Yeah, Joy, as we were studying, one of the teachers pointed out the term hail. You know, I didn't even think about that. I thought it was just kind of like, you know, hey, or I want to speak to you.
Hello, Mary.
But the word hail is an exalted term. Mm-hmm. It would be used for Caesar.
Yes.
Hail, Caesar. And so this Gabriel appears, which is enough. And then he says, hail. Mm. And she's just this teenage girl. She's pure. But it's like, what a greeting. Hail me? Mm-hmm. Hail, hail Mary? Hail Mary? We don't say hail joy and hail. So that word hail in of itself. Hail Mary, full of grace, the pleroma of the fullness of God. And he says that to her before she conceives. She's full of grace. Mm-hmm. She's not full of grace because she received the Lord. She was full of grace, the Immaculate Conception, that she was spared original sin by a singular grace of Almighty God. Hail Mary, full of grace. Oh, the Lord's with you. And she's so humble. It's kind of like, this is a lot, you know, this is like, and that you will conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love the teaching on the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child that will be born within you will be called holy, the Son of God. But this whole idea of the Holy Spirit hovering, coming over you, is like the dawn of creation. The Holy Spirit was moving upon the waters, and something happened.
Because God was creating. God was bringing forth something new. Never before. And even she said, how can this be? I've never been with a man. Right? I mean, that has to be mind-boggling.
But when the Holy Spirit hovers and does something, right? This is something totally new. God, many believed in God out there, the designer holding everything up. But now he gets a body, a face. He's there within her. I'm doing something totally new. And then in the resurrection, it's something new again. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit. We have two women with us today, sisters, who were confirmed by St. John Paul II. That's a blessing, right?
That's a great
blessing. But even if you're not confirmed by St. John Paul II, this is a shadowing of confirmation of the Holy Spirit, of Pentecost. And that's what confirmation should be about, a Pentecost coming upon you. And so we need to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Nothing is impossible with God. And we need to say this in the midst of this culture that's trying to beat us into submission, that we will worship the state. We will worship those who are in power. We will go with what the elites say. No, there is one Lord, one Savior, Jesus Christ, the name above every name that became incarnate in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and will come again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Right. Yeah. Well, we have a quote from someone. It says, the Blessed Virgin Mary accompanies us. She casts our own anxiety upon God. The angel's proclamation gave her good reason to be afraid. He proposed to her something unimaginable and beyond her abilities, something that she could not handle alone. There will be too many difficulties, problems with the Mosaic law, with Joseph, with the citizens of her town, with her people, let alone her own parents, right? Yet Mary did not object. Those words, do not be afraid, were sufficient for her. God's reassurance was enough for her. She clung to him. And we, as we want to do, and this is from Pope Francis. And that is beautiful. And so it is that. There are so many things, even on our journey, in this life, that God will say, do not be afraid. Trust me. And we have people in the Old and the New Testament. We have saints who have gone before us to be witnesses, to who've said, I've done this. And with God's help, we all can do the things that God is asking of us. The problem is we are afraid. We're always afraid. Right. We're afraid of what the world's going to think. And we forget that this earth is not our home, that we're just passing through. We are sojourners in this land, yet we cling to the things of this world. And Jesus is asking you and me to cling to him alone. And my mother will show you. My father Joseph, my earthly father Joseph, he will show you. All of the saints from the Bible, all of the disciples, all of the saints that have gone before us. Because there will be times when it will be dark and scary. We will lose loved ones. Illnesses, afflictions will come to us. Our children won't be coming back to the church. And you're praying and crying out to God, when is this going to happen? He's saying, don't be afraid. Believe for what you cannot see. And that's what Mary did. Mary believed what she could not see. And the beautiful words when he said, don't be afraid. And even the angel said that to Joseph. Yeah. And they would say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Yeah. We need to say, Lord, I am afraid, but I give you my fear. Yeah. I surrender my fear to you. Lord, increase my faith. Yeah. Lord, increase my trust in you. We've just come through Divine Mercy Sunday. Lord, increase my trust in you alone, that I'm not just saying words, but that my faith and my trust would be quickened and that my heart would burn with pure love for God.
Let's take this comment. Mary said yes. She trusted God. And because of her yes, Jesus, our Savior, was born to save each one of us. I'd add, was conceived and born to save each one of us. It's so blessed that our Lord allowed her to participate. Mm-hmm. She's not God. She's participating. She's chosen by God to do this incredible work. And, you know, I think about Joseph. You know, at some point, you know, they both really got what was going on here, especially Joseph is like, you know, I had nothing to do with conceiving this child. And then he got, this is not only the Messiah, this is the Son of God. So for him, Mary, those 9 months, was a tabernacle. Mm-hmm. He got what was in her. Imagine Joseph, no other way he was so quiet. He was like, awed. Why am I involved with this? And he loved his wife and protected his wife. But it was like going before the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. And then when Jesus is born, that's his nativity. It's not his conception, right? The two different things, conceived in the womb, and then the nativity of the Lord is when he appears. But he was conceived in the womb, not when he appeared.
Right.
But then Joseph is like, he's not in the tabernacle anymore. He's like adoring him, like the tabernacle door's open.
He is among us.
And what was it like for Joseph? Mm-hmm. I mean, he had to raise Jesus, he had to teach Jesus, all that. I mean, what an awesome call, what a burden. Mm-hmm. And what a wonderful burden. But he was continually adoring, looking at Jesus and saying, he knew, this is the Son of God, this is the Messiah. And a little guy like me, although he was from the line of David, I have to protect, defend, and love him. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome. What does the Annunciation mean to you? I think especially of Mary's, well, the humility of Jesus to come in this way. But Mary's fiat, Mary's yes, that wasn't only then, but all the days of her life with Jesus down the Via Della Rosa, being with him upon the cross, and she just obeyed. Mm. She didn't scream, take him down from the cross. She just did the Lord's will. As Jesus said, I come to do my Father's will. Mary said the same thing. What do you say? We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Well, thank you for all your comments today. We always love to hear from you. And before we wrap up today's show, we're going to go check in with beautiful Joan Lewis to find out what's happening in the church. Joan, what's the latest news from Rome?
Well, greetings, Jim and Joy. And what a fascinating question this week. What is the profound significance of the Annunciation of our Lord? And of course, we have that feast day today. But the answer is almost as profound. But I want to start with a word about, I have a small prayer guide that I use daily when reciting the rosary. And I remember one of the first times I was reading the reflection on the mystery of the Annunciation. And God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary, his chosen handmaid, with an incredible message and invitation, telling Mary, the Lord is with you. Gabriel explains how she, a virgin, will become the mother of the Son of God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Well, I have to say, one of my first reactions, this may sound silly, but I had no idea that the Jews believed in angels. I've discovered a lot since research in the past few days. But there are two angels that Jewish scripture mentions. And that's Michael and Gabriel. And this is in the book of Daniel. So Gabriel, when he made his announcement of himself and his message to Mary, he would not have been a stranger. Of course, the other incredible part of this whole Annunciation is Mary's fiat, her one word answer, her yes to conform to the Lord's will. This was the goal of her entire life, to do God's will. I mean, when you think about it, she was about to become the mother of God, the mother of the Son of God, the long-awaited Savior, the Messiah. So how could she possibly deny God's will? Now, Mary's single word answer changed the course of humanity for all time, because this, of course, allowed God to fulfill his plan to redeem fallen humanity. Now, how many times in our lives are we brought a message, or we have a question, and maybe our answer is only one word, and maybe our answer only affects us, maybe a few people, maybe a lot of people. It will never affect all of humanity, but we do have an important message that we learn from Mary. We have to learn to listen to God, to know how to understand what he's saying to us, and more importantly, to conform to his will. So on this beautiful day, the Feast of the Annunciation, we want to thank Mary for being the Lord's handmaid. We want to thank her today and every day of our lives. Well, on that note, back to you.
Joan, thank you so much for a beautiful and personal sharing. And may we all take Mary in. As Jesus said from the cross to John, take her into your home. Have you taken Mary in, the communion of saints, fellowship? Have you taken her in, the mother of mercy, who wants to be your mother too? Will we take Jesus in as Mary took Jesus in? I don't understand this, but I say yes. I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. I say yes to you. Do you take Jesus in Holy Eucharist, his body, his blood, his soul, his divinity? I want to take you in. Why do you want to come to me? How does this happen? I don't know, but I take you in. Join us next time for an exciting conversion with Dr. Eric Wherin. He will be discussing hybrid schooling and the benefits that it offers to families and parishes. God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.